Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Boy, thank you for that one yes. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. No other place I'd rather be. Amen. In the presence of God. Praise the Lord. And God is so good. This message was actually, the title was given to me in a dream Thursday night. God give me this title in a dream, and I actually started preaching this in my dreams. And so the next day I ran up here and started writing down what I was preaching, everything I could remember. And I wish I could tell you all my dreams were spiritual, but they're not. Some of them are carnal. You know, we can't control our dreams, but this happened to be a spiritual one, and it's been years since I really had a super spiritual dream. When God was teaching me deliverance many years ago, because I was doing street ministry and crusades, tent crusades and everything else. And one night I had a dream, and it was so real. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It was so real. This demon, I can't describe, he had claws. And he was wrapping them claws around my back, and they were digging in. And I could feel, I mean, it was so real. I could feel the pain, man. It was like, oh, my God. And he was trying to kill me. He was choking the life. And finally it dawned on me to use the name of Jesus. I woke my wife up screaming, in the name of Jesus, I command you, let go. In the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden that demon just shriveled up and was gone. So there's authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's authority in the name of Jesus. So God, give me the title of this message. It is called God's Divine Ability. God's Divine Ability. It's not a natural human ability. Actually, all the ability that mankind has was given from God. When God breathed the breath of life in man's nostrils, and man became a living soul, then God gave men some of them, the ability to develop a spacecraft, the ability to come up with a computer, the ability to come up with just a little computer, the ability. But God, listen closely, God has special divine abilities for special people who he calls into service. Okay? And I got to thinking about this. God's not stingy. He's not stingy. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's a giver. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Amen? And doesn't hold back. But then he goes on to say, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waves is like a wave of the ocean, just tossed around and, you know, with every little bit of wind. And he said, don't let that person think they're going to receive anything. That's a double-minded person. That's a person that believes in God one day and doubts him the next. Double-minded. One day God heals. One day I don't know if healing is really for me. That's double-minded. One day I know God saves, but the next day, well, I'm not really sure if so-and-so can be saved. Anyone can be saved. Come on, there's no one too far gone. Jesus Christ gave his life for everyone. Read the message that Joe preached yesterday. But let me just say this. God's got special ability, divine ability for special people on this planet to do special things. And when God calls you, along with that calling is divine ability to fulfill that call, no matter what it is. Amen? But if you're out there playing games with God and living in sin and not coming to church because you're too lazy, whatever the case may be, why would you expect God to give you his divine ability? The Bible says that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Not everybody loves him. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? All right? Not everybody in America loves God. There's a spirit of the Antichrist spirit. They're against everything you and I believe. Amen. We're labeled all this other stuff only because we believe the Bible. The Bible also says the angel of the Lord camps round about those that fear him and delivers them. Not everybody has a reverential fear for God. That's where everything starts, to fear the Lord. Amen. The fear of the Lord isn't like the spirit of fear that Satan brings. The fear of the Lord is a divine reverential respect for who he is. Come on. A divine reverential respect for who he is. And he wants to share his ability, but he will not share his deity. Come on. He is a jealous God as well. He doesn't want us serving other gods. He wants us to serve him and him only. What did Jesus tell Satan? No. Thou shalt serve the Lord God, and him only shalt thou serve. All right? This is just kind of a preempt here to this message. But I wanted you to know how I got this message. So they're all out of the throne room, but this is special. And I want to start out because we talked about this last Sunday about Moses sending the 12 spies out to spy out the land that God had already given them. And I want to read Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man. Let's pray. Father, I want to praise you and I want to thank you. I want to praise you and I want to thank you and I want to give you the glory. And I just pray I never miss it when I'm up here, Lord. When I never miss it. When I never miss it. There's a cyst on a young woman's ovaries, and he's going to remove that right now. I don't know anything about it. Let's just pray with me right now. Father, I want to praise you. And I want to thank you right now that cyst is being removed in the name of Jesus. And this young lady will never have to deal with it again because she came here. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's get back to the message. So he sends out 12 men. One man out of every tribe. Now let me just say this. When God gives you a promise, he expects you to use your faith to get it. Let me say that again. He expects you to use your faith to get it. He said, search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. He had already given it to them. He said, I'm already giving it to you. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. They brought back a cluster of grapes so huge it took two men to carry them on a pole. Could you imagine grapes that big? You could munch on one for a whole week. Praise God. They brought back pomegranates and they brought back figs. They wanted to show the good fruit of the land. And they said it flows with milk and honey. Flows with milk and honey. When God gives gifts, he gives good gifts. Come on. He gives good gifts. Jesus said, which of you know how to give natural things to your children? How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask him? And you have not because you ask not. And you whine about everybody else getting stuff but you, you need to take time to ask God. Come on. You need to develop that relationship with him. I was talking to a young man last night on the phone. His parents are here today. I'm not going to tell you who they are. It's just a personal thing. And he calls me for prayer and we pray. So he was trying to counsel this guy on the phone. And the guy said, he told this guy, why don't you call Pastor Jeff and share this with him? He said, I can't talk to Pastor Jeff like I'm talking to you. He said, why not? I do. Come on, we're all human beings. And so when you have that relationship with God and talk to him, come on, sure he's holy, sure he's righteous, sure he's deity, but he's still your father. And he wants you to talk to him like a son or a daughter because, come on, and it blesses him when you do that. He said in a word, let us reason together. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Boy, there's an anointing in this house today. If I needed a healing, I'd jump on it right now with both feet. Amen. Verses 27 through 31, and they told him and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it does. Flows with milk and honey. And here's the fruit. Nevertheless, that's what stopped them. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains. Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Cable stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us once go up at once and possess it. Look, for we are well able. Anytime you see the word able in here, it's talking about God's ability, not their own. He said, we are well, God has made us able. We are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able. They were doubting God's ability. They were doubting his divine ability. For the people are stronger than we are. Caleb said, we're well able. The men said, we be not able. All 12 men saw the same land, but 10 out of the 12 said they be not able. But Caleb said, we are well able. And Joshua agreed with Caleb. He's the only one that did. Now I want to go to chapter 14, verses 6 to 9, because I want to go somewhere. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephthah, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. They were upset. They were repenting, actually, because of the people. And they spoke to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Because that's what God does when he gives things away. It's good. If the Lord delight in us, which he did, he'll bring us into this land and he give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear not. I could preach on that one passage of scripture all day long. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. When the Lord gives you a promise, he will always help you go forward, and it doesn't matter, now listen closely, how many demons there are, how many giants there are, God will always make you well able by his divine ability to possess whatever promise that he's promised you. Help me out just a little bit. He said, we're well able. It doesn't matter, there's giants, there's the enemies everywhere, but they're well able. If God has to command 1,000 angels to help you, you will always be able to possess whatever he promised you. What do you think those angels are for? He sent those angels and took their defense away from them. God made them defenseless by his divine ability. Why do you think he has angels? They're ministering spirits. They're messengers. They're warriors. And while you're sleeping at night, those angels are working, setting up good things for you. Come on, helping you to possess the promise, whether it's a healing, whether it's a home, whether it's a job, whatever it is. God has divine ability available for those he calls to do whatever he calls them to do. I am the least likely candidate to become a preacher. Trust me on that one. Steve Williams said he still shakes his head every Sunday when he sees me up here. Why? Because he knew me very, very well. He was closer to me than my own brothers. And anyways, people don't understand. If any man be in Christ, God has given him the divine ability to become a new creature. Come on. Divine ability. Divine. It's not natural. It's not human. It's divine. It comes from him. He wants to share it with those. He's waiting to share that divine ability with so many folks. But he's waiting for them. Listen to it. It's like she said. She said, the Lord told her, your faith made you whole. It was her faith. It wasn't me. All I did was obey God. I can't heal anybody. Years ago, we had a word of knowledge about a tumor being in a woman's breast, and there was three of them. Then remember the one woman, I think she's dead, remember Debbie? The fire of God come in her. She said, the fire of God come all in, went to the doctor, and it was gone. I mean, totally gone. But then she called me one day, Pastor Jeff, I need you to heal me again. I said, I didn't heal you to start with. God healed you. You know, I'll pray with you. But see, you need to put yourself in a position where you can be healed. Come on now. You can't live like you want to live. And then, oh God, I need you now. And then he heals you. And then you run off and go on your own way. Come on, help me out just a little bit. Come on, help me out just a little bit this morning. There's always two parts to play. God's part and our part. Hallelujah. God had already taken the enemy's defense from them. He made them defenseless so the children of Israel could take their land, but they were moved more by what they saw than what God promised them. There's a promise in this book for every situation that you might be in today. There's a promise in this book. And the power of God is in the promise. And there's always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be giants. If it was easy, we'd just be spiritual babies. Oh, God, heal me now. Okay, here I go. And we take it for granted. You know what I'm saying? You got to use your faith. God's got divine ability. Always going to be giants standing between you and your promise. But God will always make you well able to become a giant slayer. Come on, help me out. He will make you well able to become a giant slayer. He's not only well able, but he's also well willing. He's waiting on you to move so he can move. Let me give you an example from the Word of God. I love this passage of Scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Now look here. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. He's able. That's his divine ability. Now unto him that has the divine ability, woo, to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. But here's the kicker. It's according to the power that works in us. Come on. It's according to how much we really believe in that divine ability. And that's what faith is, believing in God's ability to do what he said he would do in his word, regardless of what we see, regardless of how we feel, regardless of how many giants are in the land, regardless. This is good eating here this morning. Some of you are going to get a steak this afternoon. I know you, but this is better, huh? Exceeding abundantly means that he is well able. Means he has divine ability. We're the deciding factor. I determine how much of God's power works in me by how obedient I am to do what the Word of God says to do. None of us are immune to sickness. I've had many opportunities to run to the doctor, but I ran to the bedroom and locked myself up. Hello? How long did you stay there? As long as it took for God to show up and heal me? That sounds stupid. I'd rather wait in the bed than wait in the emergency room all day. Huh? I'm not knocking anybody. That's what medical science is for. Doctors traveled with Jesus. But I'm saying, listen closely. I determine the power of God that works in me based on my belief in what he says he'll do in his word, based on my belief in that divine ability to do whatever he says he'll do. But we have so many distractions. It makes me sick that most of the sports tournaments are on Sundays. And we miss them all, but we have to. Because I'm going to put God first. Come on. I'm not knocking anybody that does sports. Come on. It's not your fault. I better get back here. I'm meddling. No. Listen. It's not anybody's fault. They have to. That's the way the system's set up. And we have to support our children. We have to support our grandchildren. We do as much as we can. But God's first. Come on. God is uno. He's first. It's first. It's first. And it all boils down to my faith in God's ability to do what his word says. And he has divine ability. He'll do exceeding abundantly above. Now listen here. Exceeding abundantly above. Exceedingly abundantly above. Exceedingly, exceeding, not exceedingly. They misquote that all the time. Exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. But if I don't think he'll do it, I'm not going to ask him. If I don't think that he has that kind of ability to do what I need, then I'm not going to ask him to do it. You know what the problem is? We beg him to do it instead of asking him to do it. Come on, huh? We beg him to do things. Are you listening? We're not beggars. We're the children of God. We've been made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Boy, it's quiet in here. I hope somebody online is shouting this morning, hallelujah. If God was well able and willing to save me, then I know for sure he's well able to take care of me. Come on. If he's got the power to do that. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 and 26. He is able. He has the divine ability to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Don't think anyone can't be saved. Right there it is. Don't make your checklist. When I went to a Baptist church, they had their checklist. We'd go out and do street witnessing and all that. And man, they had their list of who they thought should be saved. Let me tell you what. You know what I did? I went to the down and outers. I went to a house one time, and it was a mess. But we were youth pastors, actually, my wife and I, believe it or not, years and years and years ago. And we could only fit so many kids in a station wagon. Those two weren't even thought about. This was before we started another family here with my wife. And so we started, and the way Lackey, actually, he put me in a book. They wrote about us in a book back there. I couldn't believe it when I found it, but it must have really ministered to him. But I said, wait, we need a van. You guys want me to do the, oh, well then, the deacons will never approve it. You need to come to the deacon meeting. I said, who are you answering to, the deacons or God? He had to answer to the deacons. I mean, in a Baptist church, they can vote a rabbit in for pastor if they get enough votes. That's the truth. They got to vote on everything. So I had to go to the deacons, and I stood up and preached, and so they gave me the okay. So I went and bought a church van and put Second Baptist Church on the side of the van. And I went after the down and outers, brother, the kids. And I went out to pick up these kids. I mean, they were dressed in rags. They stole everything else. And her dad came out, and he said, could you do me a favor? I said, what? He said, can you shoot me a deer? We need some meat. I said, yeah, I'll shoot you a deer. I went out and shot him a deer and came back. He said, well, where's the hide? I could use the hide. He said, I said, don't worry, I'll go kill you another one because you could kill a lot of them. I enjoyed it anyway. So I'm sitting in there ministering to this guy, and these cockroaches were all over my, and I'm flicking them off when he ain't looking. I'm going like this. But you know, the power of God moved on them kids, and they changed them kids' life forever. Why? Are you listening to what I'm telling you? And we ended up leading the whole family. No, nobody else wanted to do with. Oh, they weren't welcome in the First Baptist Church because, woo, they had the suits on and the ties on, and they didn't want no snot-nosed kids, dirty kids running in the First Baptist Church. We had to leave the First Baptist Church because I was the only one raising my hands, and they didn't like it. I raised my hands when they did worship, and that deacon looked at me like, one more time, I'm going to bounce you out of here. I'm thinking, you do, sir. You're going to have a little tough time here. So we had to leave that place. And one day somebody said, hey, you got to hear Gary Dyer's message. You got to hear Gary Dyer's message. I said, well, okay, give me one of them little cassette tapes of his message. He stood up and he was hammered. He said, there used to be a man here by the name of Jeff Lewis, and it blessed me when he raised his hands and praised God. He said, the rest of you are dead. And I thought, praise God, we made it. Give the Lord a hand. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. God wants to save everyone. Come on now. He wants to save everyone. He is able. He has divine ability to save people that you don't think might be saved. You're not the judge anyway. I like that message, Joe, you sent me that last one. I almost wanted to get saved again, brother. I'm telling you. He is able. He has the divine ability to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, which is Jesus, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Glory to God. He ever lives to make intercession for them. Do you have verse 26 up there? If you don't, it's okay. Yeah, here we go. For such a high priest, look here. For such a high priest became us. He became like us so he could take our place. He became like us so he could understand our feelings. He became like us so he could understand the temptations and all the trials that we have to go through. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He became like us. And God made him well able when he raised him up out of the grave. Praise God. He overcame the enemy to make us well able to overcome the enemy as well. He became what we were so we could become as he is. Greatest story ever told. And too many times we don't act on the word of God because we look at ourselves, we look at our insufficiencies and our own inabilities, and we fall short. And we don't think big enough, so we don't ask big enough, and we forget who's on the inside of us, listen, just waiting to make us able to do what he's called for us to do. God's divine ability. After the Babylonian exile, the temple was destroyed, and God got a hold of a man by the name of Zerubbabel. And he wanted Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. Well, Zerubbabel had all these thoughts. I can't do this. I don't have the ability. Where am I going to start? How am I going to finish? And so Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel. Huh? Right here, boy, she's good. The word then answered, spoke to me through the prophet. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel saying, okay, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You see, listen closely. Along with God's divine ability comes his power. And along with his power comes his presence. It's him on the inside of you, the spirit of God on the inside of you, giving you ability that you don't have to get the task done. Because if you had all the abilities, now listen closely, then God wouldn't get no glory out of it. But let me say this. No employer sends his employees to do a job without the proper tools. Well, let me say that again. No employer sends an employee out to do a job without proper tools. You're not going to send a UPS truck out with a mechanical problem where they might break down. You're not going to do that. God, listen. God has all the proper tools that you need to do whatever job that he's called for you to do while you're on this planet called Earth. So stop making excuses why you can't. Stop making excuses why you can't. No excuse. No excuse. Don't ever allow yourself to be limited by your own inabilities or your own ability when God will always make you well able. Caleb said, we're well able. Huh? God gave Zerubbabel divine ability to rebuild the temple, and he did. Divine ability. The ability that he never had. And when David, I thought about this, when David faced Goliath, he said, this day the Lord's going to deliver you in my hand. Right here it is. This day the Lord will deliver you in my hand. Now, you know, a little shepherd boy with a slingshot don't have the ability to kill a 7.5-foot giant. Come on now. It was God's ability. Can I tell you why it was God's ability? Because it was God's battle. Come on. And when the Lord is with you and it's his battle, he will give you the divine ability to do it. But you need to step out and do it and stop being afraid like the rest of the wussies were, his brothers, and all the whole army of Israel were scared to death of one big old giant. Oh, but David understood God's divine ability, because when he kept the sheep and a lion came out, God gave him the ability to kill that lion. And when a bear came out to take the sheep, God gave him the ability to kill that bear. He said, it's going to be like one of them. It's the battles of the Lord. It's not mine. The Lord will deliver you into my... It was God that delivered the giant. Come on. But he used David to do it. Come on. It was God that delivered the giant. But he used a little... You know why he used David? Everyone else was scared to death. That's why he's going to use some of these youth. Some of these youth that you that stand up here and said they were molested by their dad when they were little kids, but they forgive them. Some of these kids that don't fall into the status quo in school because their moms can't buy them $50,000 cars and their dad ain't high on the social status. Who cares about that? Come on, we want to get these kids that God's going to use and fill with his spirit and give them a vision and equip them to do the ministry that other people are scared to do or don't want to do. Can I get a shout today? Help me out a little bit. I'm preaching better than you're amening. I'm about to run down there and run right over top of these chairs here in about a minute. Woo! I'll tell you what, we're going to stay here for a while. I spend all this time, you're going to stay here for a little while. If your husband or wife's asleep, just give them a good old elbow there. Come on. this day the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand, big boy. I'm going to smite you. I'm going to take your head from you. I'm going to give your carcasses to the host of the Philistines this day. I'm going to give it to the birds and to the wild beast. They're going to eat good today. Woo! Them crows are going to eat good today. Those coyotes are going to eat good today. I'm going to take your head and we're going to feed the rest of you to the coyotes. Boy, I'll bet they had a snack on that big old boy. Woo! I'm telling you, it's true. Listen, God put this in here for a reason. To get people to try to at least believe a little bit of this stuff, right? Come on. It's all true from cover to cover. He said, I'm going to give it to the wild beasts. That's the coyotes, the bobcats, everything that was around. Why? That all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Because there's no way me, a skinny little shepherd boy with a couple stones and a slingshot, can take a giant down unless God gives me the ability to do it. Come on, and God will do that. God's going to glorify himself through some folks in this final hour that you thought, and when they get up and you see that anointing, oh, I never thought they would be. That's because you're judging. Oh, I never thought they could, but I never thought God would use them. You know why? Because you won't be used, so God's got to use somebody. Come on, help me out. I'm looking up at the sky here. All this assembly. Woo! All this assembly. All the Philistines on this side of the mountain. All the army of Israel. They're all looking. The stage is set to see what's going to happen. The stage is set to see Goliath take me and eat me. Just tear my head off and just... Yeah. But look what he said. All this assembly shall know that the Lord doesn't save with sword and spear. What? For the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. How? By his divine ability for me to take this. Listen, that stone had to be going 100 miles an hour. Boom! Right into the forehead. And all of a sudden, oh, bang! Right on his back. And then David gets right up on his chest, pulls Goliath's own sword out and cuts his head right off. Why? Because of the divine ability that God gave David to do what God called him to do. Come on. Divine ability. It wasn't natural ability. Do you know how strong you would have to be just to pull that sword out and to cut that giant's head off? Come on. But nobody else was willing to do it. I love that story. Amen. He said, this day, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hands this day. And he did it through David. But listen, David had to be willing to step out with what he had. David had to be willing to step out with what he had. That's what he had, was a slingshot. And God give him divine. The anointing come all over him. The power of God come on him. And there was gunpowder in that hand, brother. I'm telling you something right now. Amen. To make that stone go that fast, to sink into that forehead and to knock that giant out. It was God. He said God's going to get the glory, and God did get the glory. And he took the giant's head. He walked up and down the streets of Jerusalem, signifying that Israel's number one enemy was dead. When Jesus spoiled principalities and powers, triumphing, making a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, that's what David did. And God got all the glory. Come on, give God the glory. God got all the glory, all the glory, all the glory, all the glory. Abraham, who's referred to the father of faith, had one thing he had a revelation of. Listen, he had a revelation of the divine ability of God. He had a revelation of his divine ability. Romans 4, 20 and 21. Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Why? Because he was fully persuaded in God's divine ability. The Bible says he was fully persuaded what he had promised. Look here. He was able also to perform. Able also. He had the divine ability to give Abraham one more good night with his wife. Come on. At the age of 100. Well, that's what happened. Jesus was the only one that was conceived by the Holy Ghost. I mean, some of you are looking at me like, what? I mean, you're adults, right? I mean, that's what happens, right? I mean, that's why every one of you are here, right? I mean, come on. Help me out a little bit. I'm going to be ornery here tonight. No, I'm not going to be ornery. And because Abraham believed, listen closely, this is so important. In God's divine ability, he was willing to sacrifice his own son Isaac when his faith was tested. Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Accounting that God had the divine ability to raise him up. Woo! He believed that God had the divine ability to raise Isaac up, even if he had to slay him. Look here, even from the dead. He believed, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, where he received him in a figure. Glory to God. Right there it is. He believed in God's ability. And I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were threatened. They refused to worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up and faced execution by being thrown into a fiery furnace. You know the story. But they believed in God's divine ability to deliver. They believed in that. Listen, if your life is on the line, you'll find out. Listen, there are some countries where they're killing Christians by the thousand. They're killing them. And you know what? They won't denounce Christ because they know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I'm just wondering, if your life was on the line and that happened to us, would you denounce Christ? Daniel chapter 3, king was furious because there were certain Jews who you set over the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have not regarded you. They don't serve your gods. They don't worship the golden image which you set up. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring them, the boys, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods? Or you won't worship the golden image which I have set up? If you be ready at the time you hear all these instruments, psaltery, all kinds of music, if you don't fall down and worship the image I've made, you will be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." Now listen, they were talking about God. They were telling everybody, let him throw us in. God will deliver us. Let him throw us in. Look what he said here. "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, "Hey, we're not careful to answer you this matter. We'll tell you right now. If you throw us in, our God who we serve," look here, "is able." If you throw us in, our God who we serve, see, there's the point. You're not going to know him if you really don't serve him. And when you serve him, then you find out his ability, and you get more faith and more faith. He said, "If you throw us in, our God who we serve has the divine ability to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." And he did. Come on, give the Lord a hand. I said they did. They did. They did. They did. And you just read the rest of the story. You don't have to put it up there for time's sake, Ashley, the rest of the scripture. But they bound them. Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, he heated the furnace up 7 times hotter. And they bound them in their coats and their hats. And the furnace was so hot that the people that threw them in died right there. When they opened up the furnace, it was so hot it killed the people that threw them in. But let me just say this. There was a fourth man that showed up in that service. Come on. I said there was a fourth man that showed up in that service. He said, "I thought we threw in 3. There's 4. And he looks like that of the Son of God. God sent an angel. God will always send an angel when you need it if you're in his will. Come on. You've got to do what he's called you to do. He's got divine ability. And he took them out and he made a decree that they would never serve any other God except the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why did it change the king's mind? Because of God's divine ability to deliver those 3 Hebrew boys. They thought they were toast. But they weren't. God is so good. Amen. They understood. Don't ever, 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 ever limit God or what he's able to do for you. Don't ever do that. Because along with his divine ability comes his grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able. There it is. He is able to make all grace, look here, he's got the divine ability to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Come on, that's the way our God is. He's got that divine ability. Only he can do that. It's not based on the world's economy. It's not based on this world system. We, as the people of God, operate on a different system. We operate under the kingdom of God. Hey, here's our constitution right here. Come on. Here's what we live by right here, the word of God. And we don't waver. Why? Because we believe in God's divine ability to keep his word. When Jesus, during his ministry, two blind men followed him so they could get healed. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 30. He departed, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us," just like Bartimaeus did. When he came to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, this is very important. Jesus said to them, very important, look here. Do you believe that I have the ability to do this? Do you believe that I have the divine ability, and it took a divine ability to open up their eyes? Do you believe that I'm able? They said, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." Amen? Here's what Jesus was telling them. According to your faith, in my ability to heal you, be it unto you. According to your faith and my divine ability, because he said, do you really believe that I'm able to open up your eyes? Oh, yeah. They could have said, you think we're going to follow you down a dusty road and have somebody follow you all this way if we didn't? But they weren't sarcastic. They knew better. They said, "Yes, we believe." And he said, according to your faith and my ability to heal you, man, be it unto you. And boom. Boom, boom. It was their faith in God's divine ability. Amen. Don't ever doubt his ability to do anything. Never, 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 never. Because it's not natural. It's not a natural ability. It's a divine ability. It's a manifestation of his presence available to every believer. His divine ability is his divine presence, his divine power. Jude said that he has the divine ability to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Jude, verse 24 and 25, was only one chapter. Now unto him that's able, and he's the only one that can. He's the only one that can. Now unto him that has the ability to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Come on, give him a hand. Both now and ever. Not only does he have the divine ability to present us faultless before his presence, but he has the divine ability to change our earthly bodies into heavenly bodies one day. And man, I'm looking forward to that. Woo! Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Our conversation is in heaven. Remember that when you get mad and cuss tomorrow, some of you. Hello? For our conversation, I was coming down County Road 5 this morning, coming to Tar Run. I went to go to the post office. I ordered some books for some folks. They didn't come in. And there was a guy that had a huge tractor. I think it was a John Deere with dualies on it. And the disc was his wife. And he took up the whole road. I mean, he took up the whole road. Now, I like to be here by 9. I don't want Matt having to wait on me, our doorkeeper. And he wouldn't stop. So when a car come this way, he had to pull clear over into the ditch, which he didn't mind. He had dualies to let them, and he wouldn't stop. And he held me up for like, I don't know how many, it seemed like eternity. You know how that is? And I'm beeping my horn. And I'm having thoughts that I shouldn't have on the way to church. I can't remember what those thoughts were. I can't remember what I called him. Not physically, but in my truck. He's a rah, rah. And then all of a sudden, I got a hold of myself and I said, "Father, forgive me. God, that man has no idea what I was talking about in the truck, but forgive me. You heard me. He didn't, but God, you heard me. Lord, I ask that you forgive me. Please, Lord, I can't afford to lose my anointing. I got to preach today." What did he do? He forgave me. He forgave me. But what would you have done if that guy would have just stopped the tractor in the middle of the road and called you out and threatened you? I don't know, thank God. Then he would have given me the divine ability to get here one way or the other. Right, amen? All right, all right, right. Our conversation is in heaven, from where also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here, who shall change our vile body. Woo! That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby, look here, he is able. Woo! He has the divine ability even to subdue all things to himself. Come on, give the Lord a hand. That's going to happen one day. That's going to happen. Amen, 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 amen. The Apostle Paul's faith in God's ability that kept him from falling out of the ministry. When he wrote a second letter to Timothy, he addressed it to Timothy for a reason. Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote this letter not long before he was martyred. And we're going to close in a minute. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 through 12. He said, don't be ashamed of my testimony of our Lord or me, his prisoner, because I'm in prison. Don't be ashamed of that. But be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, nope, but according to his own purpose and his own grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. Why? Now look here. I know who I have believed. Do you know in whom you've believed in this morning? Do you know him? Paul said, I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able, has the divine ability to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He said, I know who I've believed. When you know the God you believe in, you'll be persuaded in his divine ability. Huh? You'll be persuaded in his divine ability to keep you, to anoint you, to protect you, to use you in the capacity that he wants to use you in. We're going to stop right there. And we're going to take communion. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. As the worship team's coming up and the ushers are coming up, Lord, that we'll all have a better revelation today of your divine ability. It's not natural. It's supernatural. That belongs to every child of God in here. And I just want to thank you that, Lord, we're going to be expecting more. We know that you're able. You have the divine ability to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine. So I want to thank you, Father God, that our thinking process is going to be larger. Our faith process is going to be larger. Our prayer, Father, is going to be larger. And as we take communion, I want to thank you for the power of God here, Lord, to heal bodies, to heal sick bodies. And Lord, to help us all to check our hearts out this morning. And just to, if there's any repentance, God, that we'll do that as well. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can wait on the people. Thank you. Father, we thank you that you sent your son. You love the world so much that you sent your only son to hang on a cross for us and to give his life for ours and to shed his blood, sinless blood, so we could be saved. And I just ask a special blessing on those under the sound of my voice, Lord, whether they're out of town, whether they're in a bedridden this morning. I know there's some of them that are home bedridden watching this by live stream. Whether they're here down the hallway, I just pray a special blessing this week on each and every one. And that we continue to give you the praise and give you the glory for everything that you've done. And not only what you've done, God, but what you're going to continue to do in the lives of your people around the world. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You're dismissed.